Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing ginormous jackpots, expensive algorithms, and geriatric roommates.
That's right, Joel. This is our Friday flight where we are talking through some of the different stories we came across this week. We're going to specifically talk about how they're going to impact our finances and your finances if you're listening. And before we get to the stories, though, the time has come. You likely have heard about the How to Money socks.
The rumors are flying.
These are the meticulously designed socks that we created with the nice folks over at Sock Fancy.
I'm holding a pair in my hands right now, Matt.
They look so good.
They are. Not only are they gorgeous, they are so ridiculously comfy.
And again, the reason these took so long is because we really did want to make sure we had some merch that we were proud of, not some of these sock companies where they just printed the pictures. And we joked about sharing the pictures of some of the crappy ones. We will totally do that. We'll throw it up at least on Instagram.
I just smelled them, by the way. They smell like cotton candy. They're delicious. I don't think you can eat them, but they smell good.
So we gave a few of several pairs of these away to some folks who submitted listener money tips back for our 500th episode. But we are now giving away 5 pairs to listeners out there who leave a review over on Apple Podcast, or if you give us a rating on Spotify or some of the other platforms as well, like Podcast Attic. There are a lot of folks who listen over there on that app as well. So all you got to do, leave a review. Even those old reviews that you may have left previously, those count as well. But then send us a screenshot or an email to resubmit your review for the sock giveaway. Send those to howtomoneypod@gmail.com. Just make sure to do that before end of day this coming Wednesday, and we will announce those 5 winners on our next Friday flight.
That's right. And then we'll ship these gorgeous, lovely things out to you, and you'll be like, this is the best clothing item I own. You might even throw away all your other clothes and only wear the How to Money socks, although we don't suggest it.
If that's the case, I'm fine with it.
Matt, before we get to kind of all the meaty stories we have to get to this week, one thing I want to mention, We just talked about how crusty my phone was getting. And it was one of those things where I, as a frugalite, was hoping to keep my phone for a minimum of 3 years. And I threw in the towel, man. I bought a new phone. It had crossed my mind, but here's what pushed me over the edge. I got I pre-ordered the new Google Pixel 6a. Right now I'm rolling with the 4a.
So the 6a, is that the newest?
The 6a is the newest. Yeah, like literally just came out. Like it's sitting at my house now and I haven't even opened it yet.
Oh, nice.
But so because of all the issues I mentioned, the cracked screen, the battery life messing up, the charging port is actually the biggest annoyance. It's so hard to actually get my phone to charge these days. Mm-hmm. But because of all those things, I was like, I was at least interested. I was going to look and I was going to see, you know, how much can I get for my phone? And some folks in the Facebook group were like, hey, check out Swappa, check out Gazelle. We've talked about some of those websites on the show in the past, but I was like, you're right. I should go check those out. And guess how much Gazelle offered me for my two-year-old phone?
Two-year-old phone? How much was that phone brand new?
$350 brand new.
$350, and it's kind of busted up, so yeah. I'm going to guess like $60.
Okay, maybe. So they offered me $21.
Okay.
Not very much.
Even worse.
And then I went to Cell, which is kind of like an aggregator, and the most I could get paid for that phone was $85 from there.
Okay.
That seems okay.
Fair for what you got going on.
It's okay, but guess what? I went through the Google steps to see how much Google would give me for my phone if I were to pre-order
the
Pixel 6a. And $262 is what they offer.
What?
Yeah.
Dude.
So it's like almost like a free phone for the last couple of years.
Do they realize how busted up it is?
Yeah. So they ask
me. Once you receive it, are they going to be like, oh, sorry, buddy, we're going to.
If I had a non.
We're going to claw back some of that money.
I hope not. They asked if it had a busted screen. I'm like, yeah. And if it hadn't, I think I would have gotten $300, which is still shocking that you could only lose $50 on a phone after 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it made sense because of that.
That's a great deal.
It changed the economics of getting a new phone.
A lot of folks out there who might have an older Pixel like you. I mean, can you trade in some of the older Pixels as well?
I think so, yeah. Well, I think the 4A is the oldest
okay.
they're down with. So if you're rolling with a 3 or 3A, it's probably not valuable enough. But if you got a 4A or newer,
a great deal.
Yeah, the upgrade might make sense. And I think right now,
they're doing for like a limited period of time?
I think so. I think it's literally just for a few more days. So,
Get on it, folks.
And there's you get a free Google Pixel Buds, the earbuds, too,
nice.
With the pre-order. And I'm like,
I
don't even know if I want them. I might sell them and make some of that money back. But it felt like
your
no-brainer.
One of your kids will use them for something, I'm sure.
They try to steal them again.
Hey, okay, so the real question, will you get a case for this phone?
Oh, that is the question. We'll see. Probably.
Or are you just going to ride this wave of cheap phones straight to the landfill over the course? You're going to just have to deal with this on your conscience, you know, when you're laying there on your deathbed.
Yes.
That's all.
I ruined the planet.
That being said, I still don't have a case or a screen cover, and if I crack my stupid screen, I have no place to complain. Like,
yeah.
I will not come on the show and complain about it. But that being said, I definitely want to. I just keep forgetting.
But at least your screen
the protective equipment
is more it's more solid than
well, it's right? heavier too, which, you know, the heavier, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That's true.
I will say that.
That's true. All right, well, let's move on. Let's get to the Friday flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week. Let's quickly touch on kind of the big headline from yesterday, which is the fact that we are now technically kind of, sort of, in a recession, right?
So we're technically not in a recession, right? So, like, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research, they're the folks who get to say that, yes, this is, as they're pushing up their glasses, we are now officially in a recession.
Yeah, they have not come down from on high and spoken and said that this is the case. But the typical definition of a recession has been met, right?
Exactly.
Which is 2 quarters of declining growth in a row. And so, I don't know, it feels like the definition of recession is kind of up in the air right now, but for most folks, we're kind of in one. But
we are.
But that doesn't necessarily.
And we knew that we were going to be here as well.
Yeah, we figured this was going to be the case. But that doesn't mean that this is. Recessions can look different, right? They don't have to all look the same. And right now, as we've talked about on the show, there's still a lot of positive economic data to point to. A lot of people are still, if they didn't read the headlines, they wouldn't realize that we were in a recession. It doesn't seem to have impacted really a whole lot of folks.
That's true. Yeah, everyone notices the higher prices. Everyone notices inflation, but the recession part of the story, maybe a little bit less so. A quick PSA for everyone out there. don't play the lottery. I'm sure this is a conversation you and your friends have already had. Maybe you're thinking about going in on a like within a pool together where it's like, okay, let's all get together. We'll promise to split it because really, who needs $1 billion?
Right.
I mean, really beyond like a few million, does life really look all that different for most folks?
It's more tempting now than ever before, though, when you're talking about a $1 billion jackpot.
That's the thing. You can go in a pretty huge pool of folks and everyone could still end up benefiting pretty handsomely. But just bottom line, this is a bad wealth building strategy because of the odds of winning are 1 in 302 million. Again, that jackpot is for more than $1 billion now. That drawing happens tonight, which is exciting for a lot of folks. But there are countless other things that you likely should be thinking about rather than the infinitesimally small chance that you're going to win big. But plus, you know, we've talked before how winning the lottery, how it's usually bad for your life. People die, people OD on drugs, it's bad for your relationships.
What, something like 70% of lotto winners declare bankruptcy at some point?
Yeah, and exactly.
Just imagine how people start to look at you if they know you're a billionaire. They're looking at you for money now. They want a loan, and it's going to drastically change. It's going to alter the course of your life.
Exactly.
And you might think that it's all good, but there's a lot of downsides too.
Yes, you need to think about the negatives. Although, I'm not against people playing it. Like, if you want to do it because it's fun, just know that you're doing it. You're paying $2 thinking that, okay, this is going to provide me a little bit of fun. Like,
oh, yeah.
If that means that you can be a part of all of the excitement, I am okay with that. But don't count on, like, don't think of it as like an investment strategy by any means. And I also like how it can cause people to think about and how it could get them to ask some bigger questions in their lives. Because if you're thinking through, okay, I would do this and I would do this and I would do this. If you would change your life in a significant way, I think it's worth thinking through, okay, what steps could I take now that could allow me to start to replicate some of those changes now, right? Without having won the lottery. And if you're lucky enough that you're thinking, oh, I don't think there would be a ton of changes I would make. Well, then I would say that that's a great sign that you are, you know, you're doing well, you're working hard, that you are on the right track with how it is you want to live your life. So I do like that it can cause you to maybe have some bigger questions about life.
What makes me think, we did an episode 410 was entitled, What If You Won the Lottery? And I think this is a good time to go revisit that one if you didn't get a chance to listen.
Yeah,
because
nice plug.
Some food for thought, right, about what you would actually do and how that impacts. Well, you're probably not going to win the lottery, so how should you live life in light of that? Let's move on, Matt. Let's talk about personal loans here for a second, because there was an article in CNBC basically stating that some people are taking out personal loans in an effort to build wealth. That struck me as ridiculous, idiotic.
Sounds a little backwards.
Surprising. Like, who takes out like debt that's in the upper single digits or low double digits in order to build wealth? Like, that's not smart. So yeah, inside of that CNBC article, Matt, they talked about a survey by LendingTree, which said that people are using personal loans in order to make improvements to their home. And I guess those people are hoping that that's going to increase the value of their home, thereby increasing their net worth. But that seems like some pretty flawed logic to me because when you look at the numbers, very few home improvements actually pay off. You typically lose money by making upgrades to your residence. And we'll actually link to some recent research on this in the show notes. You can actually see kind of what the payoff looks like for a bunch of different things that you could do to your home. The truth is, on top of that, there are better products if you're wanting to do work to your house. So why would you take out a personal loan when you could take out a home equity line of credit instead, which is going to carry better terms, a better interest rate? Personal loans mostly suck. We want people to avoid them. And I was just shocked to think that some people think taking out personal loans is actually going to lead to more wealth for them in the future. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Every dollar you decide to take from a bank or a credit union that is classified as a personal loan is going to hamstring your ability to build wealth for the future.
That's right. Yeah. And what's interesting too, they were talking about how borrowers who have lower credit scores, how they don't have the ability to take out these personal loans, thereby denying their potential ability to build wealth. And I was thinking, yeah, no, like they, that's great. Like, that's how the game works. You don't want, lenders do not want to lend money to folks who have proven to not be able to maintain a high credit score, whether that's because they are using too much of their credit, whether that's because they don't make their payments on time. But I feel that this is an example of the system working well. We do not want folks who have not handled money well to then take on more debt, specifically personal loans.
Yeah, and just because you have a great credit score and banks are willing to lend you money doesn't mean you should take it, right?
Sure.
There are certain instances where it does make sense for you based on your personal personal financial situation, how careful you've been with money, the fact that you prioritize saving and investing to take on debt to help you accomplish other goals, such as buying a house or maybe doing some renovations to that house. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can save up cash and buy a house, you know, mortgage free.
That's right. But just because it's there doesn't mean you should be jumping all over that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And for folks who have lower credit scores, the goal shouldn't be to get your credit score high enough to where now, oh, you qualify for personal loans. No, like there are other reasons you want to get your credit score up so that when you do have enough and you have saved up enough for a down payment, you can get the best mortgage that's available to you, but not to get a personal loan. Let's keep moving. Jason Zweig, he had this great article in the Journal recently about some companies who are offering super high savings rates. And
you know, sounds promising.
It does. But even as rates are going up, they're still pretty crummy from a historical perspective, especially given the reality of what's happening with inflation. So some folks are making riskier bets in an attempt to get higher returns on their cash. Stable coins, actually, like those are one avenue that some have taken that hasn't panned out very well. But some fintech companies that like kind of sort of look like banks, they are offering between like 3% and 5% returns right now, even higher on basic savings type vehicles, or at least they purport to be that. So for instance, Zweig, he highlighted a company called Save, and they're promising returns in the 4% to 10% range, which sounds pretty great.
On just your liquid cash. That sounds nice, right? I mean, but it'd be great if it were true.
But Save, they are investing your money. They're not saving it. So of course there is going to be a catch. So it's sort of like, it's more of a hopeful pinky promise than anything else. And we would not recommend for you to do this with the liquid cash that you're planning to keep on hand from something like an emergency fund.
When you look at the fine print, it is more like a pinky promise. And it looks good displayed in big type on the screen.
Based on historical returns over the past 10 years, but we've only been around for 10 months.
Right.
So,
and when we're talking about savings, right, it's a different ballgame. For money, you need liquid. You can't take those risks. And so, a lot of these fintech companies, Matt, they are FDIC insured, but you're going to want to make sure that that is definitely the case before you even attempt to put your money with one of these guys. But so the money you deposit isn't necessarily a risk, but there's a real chance that your returns on the money, it could be something like 0%. And so instead of that, we would suggest going with a bank that's tried and true, right? Like Ally, mm-hmm. Discover, or CIT, the banks we've been talking about for years now. Marcus is another good one. And yesterday, CIT, I feel like this is the case every week now.
Like every 2 weeks.
Rates are just going up,
they
right?
They bump these things up, which is great.
So CIT
this is awesome for all the savers out there.
Bump their Savings Connect account up to 1.9%. So
pretty close to two.
Yeah, not as good as those theoretical promised returns, right, from some of those other guys.
But it's starting to look like it used to look 10 years ago, which is, I don't know, it makes me feel good about being a saver and having that money in savings.
Yeah, it sucks just a little bit less to be a saver right now, which is good. And one other thing that we just have been mentioning and will continue to mention is iBonds as another place for guaranteed returns. Because here's the thing, though, you have to lock your money away for at least a year, but the rates on iBonds right now are almost 10%. And so it's one of those things, and they're not going to come cratering back down to earth anytime soon, I don't think. iBonds are still one of the best kind of short-ish to medium-term savings vehicles for lots of folks.
That's right. Yeah. Another place you should avoid storing your money, though, is with the biggest banks, because they pay you almost nothing, which is super sucky. But that's not your only problem that you'll encounter with them, because overdraft fees are out of this world on many of those checking accounts. Back in 2019, banks, all those big banks, they made $15 billion from folks who overdrafted their accounts. And so now Congress is looking to do something about it. I mean, like, they don't actually get things done most of the time. So it's probably not likely that things will change.
It's kind of like the lifeguards at my local pool when they're on their phone, and I'm like, oh man, what a cush job. That's what Congress seems like, because
around,
you don't really actually do much legislating.
That's true.
More glad handing and cable news appearances.
It's true. That being said, the Overdraft Protection Act could potentially step in to lessen or eliminate the ability for banks to charge ridiculous overdraft fees, which, by the way, mostly hurts the most financially vulnerable of folks. But this is an instance of where I think we don't need to necessarily wait around and like sit on our hands and hoping that the banks are going to do something.
Or hope that Congress is actually going to act, because
that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah.
If you're not around hoping for that, like you might be sitting around a long time.
Exactly.
Might grow a nice gray beard before that comes to pass.
Right. Well, and the thing is too, it's just not necessary, because like this is not something that's overly complicated. I think there are some industries and some sectors where maybe some government intervention is necessary, because it's just a really complicated process. Right. But we're talking about savings and checking accounts here. Yeah. Like, these are accounts that you can open and set up for your kids. And even they understand how they work. It's not overly complicated. It's not like this makes me think of the semiconductor bill that just passed. Cool. That's probably necessary because that's in the best interest of our entire country. Right. Like our the future of our country is at stake here. And like 90% of semiconductors are made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
And we like Taiwan, but China, they don't like Taiwan. Yeah. And China, anyway, we're getting political here, whatever. But all this being said, this is something that you can easily do. And hopefully an act does pass. But in the meantime, make sure that you are banking with the banks who aren't trying to financially ruin you.
That's exactly right. Because other banks have actually already disallowed overdraft fees. They don't charge their customers any overdraft fees. And yeah. So the market is actually providing some solutions to this. Overdraft fees are obviously too high. They're crazy costly. They screw over a lot of people, especially the most financially vulnerable. I would like to see them done away with. But the great thing is some great banks have already done that. So there's Citi, Ally, and Capital One are three banks that have eliminated overdraft fees for their customers. And it's worth mentioning that. So if you want to support a business that is doing the right thing by their customers without being told to by the federal government, then we would say do business with a bank that doesn't suck. And those are a few of them that don't suck.
That's right. All right, Joel, we have several other stories we're going to get to today. We're going to talk about student loans. We're going to talk about groceries. We're going to talk about fake reviews and more all right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, Matt, we're back. Let's keep going with the Friday flight. And of course, we always got to get to our ludicrous headline of the week.
Indeed.
And this one comes from the New York Times.
Yeah. Of the Friday flight.
It's a mainstay. And our friend Ron Lieber over at the New York Times wrote this article. It was called The Case of the $5,000 Springsteen Tickets. And so let's talk about algorithms for a second, because they're having this rapidly increasing impact on what we pay for lots of different items that we purchase and events we choose to go to, right? Prices are... This is a term I just kind of came up with. They're squishier than ever before, right? And they vary a whole lot more than they ever used to. And so much of that is due to the algorithms that determine what we pay and when we pay it. And so these Springsteen tickets, apparently some fans were trying to buy tickets for shows, and they were being shown prices of north of $5,000.
That's right.
For tickets. And obviously, they didn't really like that. They weren't sure if it was worth that much to go see the boss in person. And it's not that these tickets were being sold by scalpers, right? It was truly an algorithmic decision saying that mid five figures was a fair price for this show. And I kind of have a few different thoughts about this. I think, one, I'd rather see money go to the artist than to a scalper, right?
Right.
So I'd rather see fewer people in the middle taking a cut.
It does make sense, right? Right. So let's explain. Like, the way it works right now is if you set a static price and you happen to shoot too low and there's an overwhelming demand for it, well, the scalpers, they're going to swoop in. They're going to buy up all the tickets. They've got the software. They got the bots.
Yep.
Then they're going to jack up those prices and they're making all the profit.
That's right.
Effectively screwing over the artist.
So, like, everybody gets hurt except for these, like, few individuals who get loaded, right? Because they've got the superior technology.
But the challenge is, though, if you set your prices too high, then the artist is, you know, you run the risk potentially of having empty seats, you know, within an arena. You're not performing to a sold out show, and that's kind of a bummer as well.
For sure.
And obviously, your prices might be too high for a lot of folks. And so it's just difficult to know where to set the prices, because how do you predict the popularity? How do you predict the demand for a specific show? There are so many factors
that's kind of where
that go into it.
Dynamic pricing comes in.
And
right?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. We see it with airfare. Yeah. We see it with entertainment, other areas of entertainment, with even like sporting event tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing more of a reliance on dynamic pricing, which I think does make sense in a lot of ways. Prices on Amazon, right, change dozens of times in a single day. And so, yeah, these swift changes, though, can make it harder to be a smart shopper. But it's something to be aware of. And we also just need to be more price sensitive, right? If yep. I'm looking to go see an artist
and make a decision,
and I think it's going to be a couple $100 to go see one of my favorite artists, but now it turns out it's going to be a couple $1,000s. I'm going to leave that website as quickly as possible. And so,
unless it's your absolute favorite band and this is the last show they might ever do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are a number of factors. I mean, even Ron Lieber, he was just like, it's worth it. Yeah. Maybe not $5,000, but he's just like, I'm willing to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go see the boss because he's a legend.
Yep, exactly. And there are maybe a couple people I would pay a couple $100 to go see.
Not many.
I don't know that there's anybody I would pay thousands of dollars to see, but.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what this comes down to, though, is the fact that this is being run by Ticketmaster, right? And they have like a stranglehold, a monopoly.
That is true.
And they service something like over 70% of all venues. And so in my mind, the algorithm is good, or it's good enough. But maybe
the
a lot of
dynamic pricing algorithm. Yeah.
Generally speaking, the dynamic pricing. But how do you make the specific algorithm better? And you do that by providing more competition to Ticketmaster.
That's right.
Right. And so, they don't
I'd
have
love to
any
see more direct sales by artists.
Oh, that'd
and
be
cutting
amazing.
Out Ticketmaster, that middleman too. And I think there's more and more. We're seeing more and more of that happening as well. And I hope we see a lot more of that, because I would like to see Ticketmaster go down in flames. I'm not going to lie.
But what that means, though, are some other folks stepping and providing some sort of service to these artists that allow them to, because even still, it's difficult for an artist to build that, right? Yeah. To kind of build that network, to build that kind of direct communication with their fans. That's why they are dependent on folks like Ticketmaster. But generally speaking, this is an industry that is overdue for some competition sure. to come in and unseat Ticketmaster, who's been sitting on the throne for a long time. Actually, NPR, they just published this piece about sort of like these funky algorithms this week as well, because depending on how long it takes you to finish a transaction when you're online shopping, after you put something in your cart, the price might get bumped up in the meantime. And we share this because we want you to be aware of this trend, you know, some of the different sneaky ways that it can cost you more sometimes without even knowing it. And so bottom line, I feel like this dynamic pricing model, it's still kind of the best alternative for what's out there. But we just need to be aware that this is the direction that it seems like things are going. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about shopping, let's talk about fake reviews. That's another mounting problem in the world of e-commerce. A recent study found that folks are more likely to buy inferior products based on glowing but fake reviews about that product. That makes sense. A lot of us are just looking at the star ratings on a product and we're like, okay, it seems pretty good. Let's click to buy.
And we might read maybe one or two of those actual reviews, but there are thousands. And so we certainly don't wade through all of them, but it turns out a lot of those are, or at least on some products, are completely fake. They're ramping up the star level, even though the product is not a great one.
Yeah. And these are products that we have not even hardly laid eyes on. Obviously, we're not seeing them in person, so we're not quite sure what we're going to be getting. May not even know anything about that specific brand because there are so many of these newfangled companies selling all sorts of stuff online. It can be difficult to manage and to interpret all the data that is out there. So bottom line, like, it kind of comes down to you as an individual, like you said, Joel, reading the reviews, looking for items that might only have only 5 stars, like that's a red flag, basically, right? There are ways that you can read through the reviews and tell, was this created by a bot or is this a real person who uploaded a legitimate photo of their product?
Yep.
And honestly, for me, when I see 2, 3, 4 stars on a product, for me, that gives me a little bit of reassurance that, oh, this is a legit product. There's always going to be people out there who are not happy with it.
Yep.
A lot of times they put the thing together wrong and they're like, oh, the thing broke after like 3 seconds. And it's like, well, I think you broke it yourself.
Yeah. And you can tell that when
you didn't read the instructions.
When you read some of the actual individual reviews. Whereas if you're just looking at the star level, sometimes you can be misled. And I think FakeSpot is one of those cool sites and Chrome browser plugins. It's worth having
they've
on
got
there.
It on Safari as well.
Do they? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then that way every time you go to Amazon or some of these other websites, they'll give you a rating like, hey, guess what? The reviews on this are a C or they're a B. And you can kind of know like, all right, I have to tread a little more carefully before buying this product because it looks like there are more fake reviews on it.
Yeah. And you know FakeSpot's good because they got good star ratings within the App Store as well.
Right. Love it. So good.
Who is policing the police?
Right. Exactly. That's a good question. All right. Let's talk about student loans for a second, because we're still in the middle of a student loan payment pause that's supposed to resume September 1st. And the question is that going to happen? And the answer is probably not. Will any amount of forgiveness come to fruition? That's another question on people's minds when it comes to student loans. That's a political football that is still kind of being batted around.
And we're going to do our best to not get political here and talk about how forgiving a bunch of student loans might even lead to more inflation. But that's not something we're going to get into. We're going to just stick to the news.
We've mentioned that before, that it's not our favorite policy idea. But the political writing was kind of on the wall that there might be another forbearance extension. That's something we were kind of thinking might come to pass.
It's looking like it.
Right. And so now there's more and more rumblings pointing in that direction that come September 1st, people who have student loans who have not been paying on them for the past couple of years will be able to continue to not pay on their student loans. And yeah, we'll certainly revisit this topic when the details firm up. We still want you to be financially prepared for those payments to resume come September, even if it's unlikely to happen.
That's right. Yeah. And honestly, kind of going back to what we're saying about that Overdraft Protection Act, this is another instance, I feel, where there's been some congressional ineptitude, let's just say.
Sure.
Like this, because it shouldn't come down to the president deciding whether or not there's going to be a forbearance extension, whether or not there's going to be student loans that are going to be forgiven. This is Congress's job. And so regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, I feel that this is, it's just a little discouraging. It's kind of annoying that this is something that, it feels like somebody who's just continues to hit the snooze button. And it's just like, dude, either just turn the alarm clock off or get up, just decide. And the fact that there are borrowers out there who, sure, they've benefited from not having to make payments over the past two and a half years now. But still, the fact that we don't know what is going to happen is kind of mind-boggling.
Yep.
And it's something that I wish our leaders could figure out.
Yep. The congressional gridlock, the inability to really kind of work together on anything is bad for the country as a whole, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't instill confidence in us as,
no.
us as people. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about ways you could save on rent. And you could do that by potentially getting an older roommate. This is your geriatric roommate's part of the headline that you mentioned at the beginning, Joel. And what we're talking about here is a much older roommate because Business Insider, they just wrote about how multi-generational living is on the rise and how it could save you money because some colleges have been doing this. They've got these programs in place in order to help some of their students live rent-free.
Given the changing demographics in our society, the world, but America as well, like as we have an older and older population, I love this idea. Idea,
it makes,
right?
It makes a lot of sense.
And it's like, it's a good thing for the students to live in a place where they can pay less rent or live for free. And it's also a good thing for these older people to have those younger folks in their lives still.
Exactly. Yeah. And it seems like the younger generation seems to be more willing to consider this as a way to cut costs specifically. There's a website, Nesterly. They're trying to make this easier to accomplish, although it's only working in a few cities right now. Mainly Boston seems to be the largest area where they are doing, you know, making a lot of inroads. But check it out if you're interested. We're all about outside of the box ways to cut back and save. And like you said, there's like a richness to life that you gain by being in contact with folks who are older. Like we've got some neighbors who are in their 70s and 80s, and you can't, there's not like a dollar amount. You can't quantify the benefit that you receive from having a connection like that to yep. an older generation. And like you said, I think it's great for older folks as well. There's a girl in the story, and she's living with a lady who's closer to the age of her grandma, and she's able to stay in her house like this old family home because now she's got somebody to help her pay the taxes. Yep. She helps out with chores. It's just a win-win situation, and seems like an
helps her
awesome...
figure out how to use email. Stuff like that, you know, I mean that's like a legit kind
yeah
of thing.
yeah. It's just a great solution for everyone involved. Well, I love seeing that.
I got you beat because my next door neighbor, she's 96.
Oh, snap.
And she lives alone because her son lives across the street from me. So it's that multi-generational street living, at least where I'm at.
But, yeah. Well, somebody should move in with her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got extra room she's not using.
I'm sure she does. But it's cool to see. And it's nice to kind of live in a place where my neighbors are at different ages and stages of their lives.
Exactly.
I think that is a good thing. Well, let's talk about groceries here for a second, Matt, and because brand loyalty it seems to be waning as prices are rising, right? As inflation at the grocery store is somewhere in the 12%+ range, people are starting to trade down for store brands. There was another article that said that people are downgrading to cheaper booze, beer, and cigarettes right now too. Matt, I know nice. You're only drinking Jim Beam, right, for the time being? Not even water. Like
I'm not against Jim Beam.
Yeah.
If I wasn't drinking water, then that would increase my budget significantly.
That's true. That's true.
Was, yeah.
Well, some Americans still remain incredibly loyal to some specific brands, of course, but that's really to their financial detriment because CNET just published a story about how much store brands can save you. And they claim, based on the data that they pulled from multiple grocery stores, that the average savings by switching from name brands to store brands is something in the range of 40%.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, that's backed up from
that's so true.
What we've seen with our own very eyes going to the grocery store ourselves, but also from just kind of other data we've seen in the past. Store brands are one of the quickest ways to help you save money on your grocery bill, and it's a trade-off that more people should be making.
Definitely. Yeah. If you've only ever gone to Publix, I challenge you. Go to Aldi and buy all the same types of items. You're not going to get the same name brands for the most part, and I guarantee you will see a 40% reduction
yeah.
on that receipt.
Or even right if, there. Right? Like they talked about shopping at Whole Foods and how if you just opt for the store brand items at Whole Foods.
Oh, but I want them to have that Aldi experience.
I do too. I mean, but if you went from shopping name brand at Whole Foods to Aldi, you're going to cut your grocery bill at least in half, like probably by 60%.
Yeah. That's true.
But at least wherever you shop, at least opting for store brands is going to save you a boatload.
Yeah. So the opposite of saving money on store brands is paying for something like $420 socks. Because the journal, they just wrote a story about that phenomena. And honestly, like, I do not know who these people are.
I've not met them. If I have...
Hundreds of dollars on socks. Like,
shocking.
I get it for like a pair of like darn tough socks. Those are my favorite nicer socks. But like, we're still talking about socks that cost like around $20 a pair. And you can get socks that are way cheaper at Costco or buying them in bulk online where you're buying like eight, 12 pairs at once. But like for instance, Darn Tough, they make some seriously comfortable socks, and their warranty is unmatched. Like literally, they will take any pair back if they have holes in them. I was just reading about that, and they actually expanded their warranty page, and they're showing pairs of socks, and yeah, they look like old socks, and they have holes in them, and they're like, yep, send them back. We will send you a new pair. That's phenomenal, and the kind of brand I like to get behind. But it just doesn't seem like you're getting much in return if you're going to spend like 20 times that on some super fancy socks here. You know, spending hundreds of dollars just to signal that you've got that money. This is conspicuous consumption is all that it is. Yep. It's luxury consumption.
It's not like you're paying for something that's superior. No. You're really paying.
You're paying for a feeling.
To show people you got monies.
You're trying to show it off. Yeah. And this is a surefire way to lose all of your money. And as we're talking about socks, this is a reminder for you to leave us a review. That is how you get entered to win one of the 5 pairs of How to Money socks. And these are performance crew socks, Joel. Like these go like midway up the calf. Would you say midway?
Yeah.
Like almost up to the knee. They're beautiful.
Not up to the knee. They're not that high.
They're not like soccer socks.
No.
You've got long legs, dude. For me, they do almost go up to my knee. I've got really short legs.
Well, instead of paying hundreds of dollars for socks, get some for free by leaving a review at your favorite podcatcher for our show. We really appreciate it. It helps us reach more people with money-saving advice. And remember, you just have to do that by this coming Wednesday at the end of the day and send us an email to howtomoneypod@gmail.com. We'll get you entered. And if you've left a review in the past, you can still enter. Just send us an email with that screenshot and we'll get you entered in.
That's right. All right, Joel, that's going to be it. We hope everyone has a great weekend. And until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox